This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him and upon all of the prophets and messengers that were sent for the guidance of mankind. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explore yet another topic from amongst the topics of Riyadus Salihin by Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam al-Nawawi has a topic in his great book, which is entitled Babun fil mubadarati ila al-khayrat wa hathi man tawajjaha li khayrin ala al-iqbali alayhi bil jaddi min ghayri taraddud. This chapter is about hastening or being quick to do good deeds and not hesitating. So inshallah ta'ala, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he opened up this chapter with some verses related to the topic of hastening and being good to do good deeds. And he opens up with two ayat related to this topic, and then several hadiths, traditions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, about this important topic. So we begin inshallah ta'ala by stating that Imam al-Nawawi in his heading has two areas. The first area is hastening to do good deeds. That's the first part of the heading. So the heading actually consists of two components. So the first one is about hastening to do good deeds. And the second part of the heading is that once you have committed and you have the intention to do a good deed and to go ahead with doing that and performing that good deed, not to hesitate, not to hold back, but to proceed. Now, let's talk about, inshallah ta'ala, hastening to do good deeds, being quick to do good deeds, and what that means. This, of course, is the opposite. I mean, the antonym of hastening and being quick is being unhurried. Unhurried in doing righteous deeds or meritorious deeds, good deeds, righteous actions, or, dawdling, or being sluggish, or being lazy with regards to doing a good deed. So this is the opposite of what this topic and what the hadiths and the ayat are suggesting and instructing us. Now, in subhanAllah, how many people procrastinate? This is a word that, delay, and they just put things off, doing good deeds off, they procrastinate. And as a result of their procrastination, they forfeit a great deal of ajr, of reward, of hasanat, of good deeds. And basically they transform what is an opportunity into a missed opportunity. This is very unfortunate. And in the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Al-mu'minul qawi, khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah, khayrun wa ahabbu ila Allah, min al-mu'min al-da'if, that the strong believer is better and dearer to Allah than a weak one, and in all is good things. So, wa fi kullin khayr. Now, being a believer is a good thing, but more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is strong with his iman, strong with his physical abilities to do things for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is more beloved to Allah Azza wa Jal. So a Muslim is one who is constantly training his iman, training his nafs, training his, looking after his body. So one is nurturing and looking after both the physical and the spiritual. okay, aspects of our lives. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith, he goes on and he says, ihris, ihris ala man yanfa'uka, wasta'in billah, wala ta'jaz. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, keep beseeching, keep calling upon, keep invoking Allah for help and do not refrain from it. So again, don't give up. Keep on asking Allah Azza wa Jal to give you that support, to give you that aid, to give you that help and to make you victorious and to make you a better person and a stronger person. You know, many of us, we quit very quickly. You know, we are defeatists. Okay, and it's very important that we stay focused and stay strong. And yes, we will be facing many adversities and many, many challenges in our lives. And subhanAllah, where they come from, a person has no idea that it is even coming. And so, this is very important to keep in mind. So, each time a person hears or comes across or remembers a good deed, whether you read it in the Quran, or you read it in the hadith, or you hear it in a khutbah, or you hear it in a lecture, you read it in a book, you hear of a good deed, you see a good deed, then the Prophet ﷺ is advising us to be quick and to hasten in executing that good deed. Don't delay, don't procrastinate. Because, you know, and this applies to everything, and especially when it comes to our obligatory duties, whether it is salat, or whether it is sadaqah, or, you know, charity, or whether it's our siyam, our fasting, or whether it's hajj, whether it's being dutifulness, dutiful towards one's parents, we shouldn't be procrastinating and putting things off and saying, later I'll do it, later I'll put on hijab, later I will refrain from riba, later I will adhere to this Islamic manner or that. This is a problem that we have, you know, people delaying. And it might well be that you procrastinate, and then what happens? And then you become incapacitated. That is, you become incapable. So you put it off, and then guess what? You no longer can do it. It's too late. You don't have the physical ability. You don't have any more skill or strength to do that good deed that you were putting off. So Islam is, again, teaching us and encouraging us and driving us towards doing goodness and being hasty. Quickly do the good deed. Otherwise, what can happen? You could die. No, you know, Malakul Maut, the angel of death, does not give you an invitation, or he sends you a card or an invite or an SMS or an email or some sort of notification that, you know, you will die on this day. You know, get ready. No, it just happens. You just die. Nobody knows when they're going to die. Nobody knows where they're going to die. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. You know, how many doctors have told patients that you will die in X amount of months and they live for X amount of years. Okay? And so on and so forth. So, you don't know when you're going to die. You don't know when you're going to fall ill. You could fall into an illness that disables you. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, nas Allah as-salama wal afia. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from falling into these hardships. But nevertheless, this is a reality of life. And the reality is that people die. The reality is that people fall ill. The reality is that time expires. Sometimes you only have a window of opportunity. So, for example, there could be a project building a masjid. Okay? Or contributing towards a sadaqah project, a worthy project, but they give you an opportunity to invest in that, right? Because it's an investment for you hereafter. And then what happens is that that's it, that project is finished. Guess what? You missed out. So when people actually come knocking on your door for sadaqah, and you know, and they want you to contribute towards a worthy cause in Islam, they're actually doing you a favor. Because you now have the ability to give sadaqah. So wallahi, when somebody comes knocking on your door, or you have an opportunity or an invite to a sadaqah project, whatever it may be, for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, you should jump on really quickly, because this is going to be something for your own benefit. Because whatever you put forward is for your own benefit. So there's an Arabic saying that says, خَيْرُ الْبِرِّ عَاجِلِهِ. This is a very beautiful saying, really, and you can apply it in so many areas in your life. خَيْرُ الْبِرِّ, خَيْرُ, the best of birr. Birr means goodness, righteousness. خَيْرُ الْبِرِّ عَاجِلِهِ is that which is done quickly. It's executed very quickly. So if you hear someone gives you again an opportunity to do a good act, or you come across a good act, do it very quickly. That's the best thing that you can do. Whether it's helping somebody financially or helping somebody with your words or with your actions, whatever it might be. If it's bir, if it's good and you hear about it, go for it. Don't delay. It's a very beautiful saying that is basically taken from the teachings of the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Speaking of procrastination, in the hadith that is found in Sunan Ibn Majah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, "Man arad al hajj," that whoever wants to perform hajj, man arad al hajj, fal yata'ajjal, you know, again, this ajala, this hastiness, it needs to be haste. Fal yata'ajjal, fa'innahu qad yamrud al marid. He said that the sick person, one can fall sick, one can fall ill. And he goes on and he says, وَتَضِلُّ الرَّاحِلَةِ. Or maybe you lose your means of transportation. You no longer have the means to get to the Hajj. So be quick. You can fall ill. You could not have the means of being transported, there, whether it's financial constraints or what have you. وَتَعْرُضُ الْحَاجَةِ. Or some other need may come about. You know, so those people who have the financial ability and the physical ability to perform Hajj, you know, the advice is, you know, intend with a firm intention to do it next year. If you haven't done so already, don't delay, don't procrastinate. You know, some people, wallahi, shaitan deceives them into thinking that, you know, I'm not ready, I've got to be really, really pure, and there's a few things in my life I've got to get into order before I go to Hajj. And that's how shaitan works. You know, but really, if you have the financial ability and the physical ability, don't procrastinate. Wallahi, you can go to Hajj and your whole life can just change forever for the best and for the better, inshallah. So this is a problem that we have with in so many Muslims procrastinating, good deeds, and especially Hajj, and they think that Hajj is only for when you get older, or, when I get married, or when this and when that. And they have all sorts of excuses. This is not what Islam teaches us. Now, going back to Imam al-Nawawi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and in this chapter, he says, he commences the chapter with a very beautiful ayah from Surah al-Baqarah, the second chapter of the Qur'an, verse ayah number 148. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ فَاسْتَبِقُوا. And this translated means, so hasten, be quick towards all that is good. فَاسْتَبِقُوا. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses here the word istabiqu, and this means to rush, right? But the word, there's another word for also being, for hastening and being quick, and that is the word sabiqu. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he used istabiqu. It's a richer, it's more comprehensive, and it entails more in terms of how quick you should be. So don't just be quick, be very quick. Istabiqu. Istabiqu al-khayrat. Khayrat is good, the goodness and the good things. So it's about being, first and foremost. Being first. And this is what, when you aim to be first, and when you aim to be, when you aim high, don't aim for, when you aim for, aim for the stars, don't aim for the moon. Because if you aim for the stars, inshallah, you get to the moon. Okay? So it's aiming always higher, and always being first. And subhanAllah, if you think about this word first, it's amazing that, if you think about things that are first, you always remember the first ones, the first things, the first person, the first winner, right? You can have second and third, right? But how many of us ever remember second and third? You don't remember second and third. But you do remember the first. Okay, you always remember the best. And this is why we should be always aiming for what is best and aiming to be from amongst the foremost ones. You know, the sabiqoon, you know. And especially in many areas of ibadah. And one area of ibadah to be, you know, first and foremost with regards to the males is to, you know, hasten to be in the first rows of the salah. You know, in the hadith which is found in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, خَيْرُ صُفُوفِ الرِّجَالِ, the best rows of the men. أَوَّلُهَا, that it is the first rows, the first row, then the second, you know, filling up the first rows, especially the first row. You know, and there are many hadith to do with, competing and rushing to be in the first row of the salah. Yet there are, you know, many Muslims who come to the salah and they sit in the furthest rows and they sit at the back of the masjid. So he's saying, خَيْرُ صُفُوفِ الرِّجَالِ أَوَّلُهَا وَشَرُّهَا آخِرُهَا, and the least of the rows, and like, you know, shar actually means worse, but in this context here, it's like the least in terms of being favored are the, he says, آخِرُهَا, the last rows. They're the least in terms of merit and reward. وَخَيْرُ صُفُوفِ النِّسَاءِ, as for the best rows of the women, they are the last ones, because they are the ones that are not so close to the men. And that the shar, or وَشَرُّهَا أَوَّلُهَا, and that the least favored are the first rows. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he actually once, he actually saw some people at the far end of the masjid. And we read in Sahih Muslim, and he said, come forward and close to me, and let those who come after you follow your lead. And then he said, if people continue to fall behind, and here it's a general statement, if people continue to fall behind, in other words, in acquiring virtuous deeds, Allah puts them behind. Allah puts them behind. So in other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He helps, He aids, He supports those who don't lag. Those who don't lag behind. He's those who are foremost, and those who are first. You know, He makes matters convenient for them. Allah makes things easy for you when you are first and foremost, and rewards you abundantly. The next verse that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala has included in this chapter is the verse in Surah Ali Imran, which is the third chapter of the Quran, verse 133. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and hasten, be quick to forgiveness. سَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ, to forgiveness. وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ, from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens and the earth prepared for the righteous. Let us analyze this ayah, beautiful ayah. And this is the thing with many of these ayats. We need to analyze them. We need to really look at the message that is being given to us by Allah Azza wa Jal. And not just taking a very cursory sort of stance or look at the verse. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is instructing us to be swift. To be quick, to be swift in doing actions that wipe away the sins and wipe away our bad deeds. Acts that warrant maghfirah, forgiveness. Allah Azza wa Jal is ghafurun rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-ghaffar. He's the one who forgives the sins. So how do we get our sins atoned or forgiven or wiped out? Through sayings, through actions. What kind of sayings? Very basic sayings. By saying astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Or by saying, Allahumma ghfirli, oh Allah, forgive me. Oh Allah, forgive me, Allahumma ghfirli. Or by saying, Allahumma inni astaghfiruka, oh Allah, I ask or beseech your forgiveness. So again, this is the state of a Muslim who is perpetually or in constant and consistent state of istighfar. What about actions? There are many acts that you can do. I mean, the basic principle is this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran, إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ الْحَسَنَاتِ يعني cancel out. Would, يعني cancel out السيئات. It cancels out sins. إِنَّ الْحَسَنَاتِ يُذْهِبْنَ السَّيِّئَاتِ. So how do we, what kind of hasanat can we do? Many hasanat. Alhamdulillah. Many actions. Like what? Like wudu. Subhanallah. يعني wudu. And in the hadith found in Sahih Muslim, you know, many of us probably underestimate the power of wudu. You know, we just think about it, it's just, you know, about washing a few of our limbs and just, you know, that's it. And we go to salah. But in actual fact, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said that whoever of you performs wudu carefully, you know, istaghul wudu, whoever of you performs wudu carefully, and then he says, and he affirms, and he says, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Wahdahu la sharika lah. Wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. You say it like this. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. What happens? Perfection of wudu and saying the shahada, the 8 gates of Jannah are opened for him. The 8 gates of Jannah are opened for him, and he may enter through whichever of the gates he desires to enter through. Allahu Akbar. Just by perfecting your wudu. I mean, there are other hadith that talk about, you know, the wudu and the merit of wudu and how when you are washing your body parts and that are to be washed in wudu, how they, يعني, the sins are falling off even with the last drop of the water. So don't underestimate wudu, and let's perfect our wudu, and let's not leave any dry spots in the places that are supposed to be, يعني, washed in our wudu. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, and there are the salawat, the 5 daily prayers, and the associated rawatib, you know, those sunnah prayers that are associated with them. And there is, you know, Friday prayer, there is Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, as-salawatul khams, that between the 5 daily prayers, wal-jumu'ah ila al-jumu'ah, between one Friday and the next Friday, and wa-ramadan ila Ramadan, and between one Ramadan and the next, your sins will be wiped away as long as you avoid the major sins. As long as you are avoiding and distancing yourself min al-kabair, then, يعني, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wiping away the sins. And in another narration, and from one umrah to another umrah, again, let's detoxify with a, if we can afford a yearly trip to umrah. You know, which only takes some couple of hours. So maybe if you're already in that part of the world, you know, you may be in a neighboring country, why not make a quick visit to Mecca? Why not, you know, have it in your itinerary? And it'd be very cheap, you know, just to go there, just even for one night, just to do an Umrah trip and detoxify and just, you know, cleanse and yourself from all the impurities that you have, you know, accumulated over the year. So this is, inshallah, something to also reflect upon and to think about. So again, there are sayings, there are actions that we can do to have our sins forgiven, that we should be hastening towards. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this verse, he says, وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ. He said, as we heard before, وَسَارِعُوا إِلَى مَغْفِرَةٍ. So be quick towards forgiveness and towards a jannah. Towards a paradise. The width. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He describes to us the width of this Jannah. And the width of it is the heavens and the earth. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating to us the vastness and the greatness of this Jannah. It is very wide. A very wide Jannah. Okay? And how do we gain it? We gain it through carrying out the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. By carrying out the commands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And that we should rush towards Jannah. You know, by doing the things, the actions that lead to Jannah. And the only actions that lead to Jannah are the good ones, are the righteous ones, are the ones that we find in the Quran, are the ones that we find in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So this is what we need to keep in mind, inshallah ta'ala, as we are traveling towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the hereafter. The next part of this ayah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after mentioning rushing and hasting towards the maghfirah, and racing and rushing towards Jannah, He says what? He says, "U'iddat lil muttaqin." This Jannah which has been prepared for who? It's been prepared for the muttaqin. Those who have taqwa. Those who revere Allah. Those who fear Allah. Those who are conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. And who prepared the Jannah? Who is it that has prepared the Jannah? We find that the one who has prepared the Jannah is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. And the proof and the evidence for this, we read it in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, he says, أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ. I have prepared. This is a hadith Qudsi. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. I have prepared for my righteous slaves. مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ. What the eye has not seen. وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ. And what the ear has not heard. وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَىٰ قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. And that which you cannot even perceive. That which does not even come to the heart of any one of you. This is what Jannah is about. And Jannah has a mahar or a dowry or you need to pay with your good deeds. So then we find, subhanAllah, and Imam An-Nawawi has not mentioned this here in this chapter, but in the verse that follows, in the verses that follow this particular ayah, about rushing towards forgiveness and Jannah that is prepared, being prepared for the muttaqin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He actually describes to us the characteristics of those who have taqwa. Who are they? Who are these muttaqin? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't keep us in the dark. And He actually describes to us who are those that have the taqwa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who spend in the cause of Allah. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ. Those who spend in as-sarra'i wa-d-dara'. Those who spend in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal during ease and during hardship. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who restrain or suppress their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And those who pardon people. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And Allah loves those who do, the doers of good, or those who do good deeds. Now, again, we can analyze this verse. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ. Al-infaq means to spend. الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ. Sir, in secret, in hiding, without others knowing. فِي السَّرَّاءِ. Or we could say, سَرَّاءِ here, in times of ease. So there are two times that people give sadaqah, as this ayah is suggesting and telling us. That we give in as-sarra, when in times of ease, wa fi ad-darra, and during times of hardship. So not only giving when things are going easy, but giving when things are actually tough. And we're going to see one of the hadiths in a moment that Imam An-Nawawi chose that actually reflect this and that exemplify this ayah. So al-infaq. So one of the characteristics of al-muttaqun are those who give sadaqah, right? Who part with their wealth. Because sadaqah is what? Sadaqah comes from sidq, comes from your truthfulness. Your truthfulness in your love of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ. And those who suppress their anger. This is one of the characteristics of a taqi, of a person of taqwa. A person of taqwa is one who controls his anger. And that's why when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was approached by a sahabi, and he asked him, Ya Rasulullah, awsini, give me advice. La taghdab, awsini, la taghdab, awsini, la taghdab. Three times he told him, do not become angry. Do not become angry. So it's about being patient and having that sabr, and not letting your your rage or your inner rage to come out and to start doing things that are displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why we have in the hadith which is found in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ليس الشديد بالسرعة إنما الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. That the shadid, the strong person, is not the one who is able to wrestle his opponent to the ground. Not the one who is able, who's strong in wrestling and, you know, physical strength. That's not the strong person. Yet the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, الشديد الذي يملك نفسه عند الغضب. But the strong person is the one who controls and contains himself when he is angry, when he is in a state of rage. That's the strong person. That's the real test. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually told us and he informs us where this anger and this rage comes from. He says that the anger is a heat bead. You know, a heat bead. Piece of coal that shaitan throws into the heart of a person. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has taught us the remedy. He's given us a prescription. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the tabibul qulub. He is the doctor, or the one who gives us medicine of our hearts, medicine of the spirit, medicine even for the physical ailments that we have. And that's why we have books in Islam that are called prophetic medicines. Prophetic medicine of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when we do become angry, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches us to say, "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." When you become angry, one of the things that you can do in terms of anger management, yes, alhamdulillah, Islam has given us anger management techniques. Wallahi, this is the reality. Islam has left no stone unturned. Isti'adha, saying "A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim." And this is based on the hadith of in Bukhari, whereby the Prophet ﷺ, he saw a man whose jugular veins are popping out. You know, he's turned red. And the Prophet ﷺ said, I know a phrase that if that person says it, his anger will go away. And he said to say, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. And yet another prescription, from amongst the prescriptions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to bring yourself from a higher position to a lower position. So for example, if you are angry and you are standing, sit down. Sit down. That's why that when somebody's angry, you say to them, please take a seat. Take a seat, please. Can you please sit down? So that when you're coming from that higher anger management techniques, and I'm sure psychologists have spoken about this. Going from that upper position to a lower position. So from standing to sitting. And if you're sitting, to recline. To come to your side. This is what you do. This is what we say, going from a higher position to a lower position. And again, we find this in the hadith, which is in Sunan Abi Dawood, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if one of you becomes angry and he is standing, then let him sit. His anger should go away. Otherwise, he should recline. Alhamdulillah. Islam has given us the solution. We know the problems. But do we know how to deal with the problems? And this is why those who have the resources of the Quran and the Sunnah and the knowledge, they are able to deal with their dilemmas. And they're able to deal with the challenges that they face with a lot better than those who do not have these resources at their hands. Very important to gain this knowledge and then to start to implement this knowledge, inshallah ta'ala. So alhamdulillah, we have remedies. Another remedy, wudu, in the hadith which is found in Sunan Abi Dawood, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. Ghadab, anger is from shaitan. إِنَّ الْغَضَبَ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ. وَإِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ خلق من النار. That shaitan was created from what? He was created from the fire. وإنما تطفئ النار بالماء. That the fire is extinguished by water. بالماء. فإذا غضب أحدكم فليتوضأ. When one of you becomes angry, let him or let her perform wudu. Very simple. Wudu. It is very refreshing, rejuvenating. It extinguishes that anger that you have. So we find, subhanAllah, wallahi, when a person is angry, many negative or many, there are many implications that result from anger. There are many bad situations that happen. So for example, a person is angry with his wife. And he's so angry that his anger leads him to divorce her. And he divorces her 3 times. You know, in some madhabs, 3 times means that's it. You know, 3 strikes and you're out. Although the correct opinion is if you divorce 3 times in one sitting, it's only counted as one. This is the more correct opinion. Saying, anti taliq, you have divorced, you are divorced, you are divorced. 3 times in one majlis, in one encounter, it's only one. Some madhab, some scholars, they will give a verdict. 3 is 3. It's over and out. You cannot be with each other again. Why? We spoke about, if you were in a state of, you know, utter anger and rage and you said talaq and you said divorce, then this is not a binding divorce. You know, there's a hadith, la talaqa, fi ikhlaq, that there is no, talaq that is valid, no valid divorce in a state of utter rage and anger. And then, you know, so, but this is a fiqhi issue that we've spoken about previously. But, you know, families are destroyed because of anger. Families are destroyed. Relationships are destroyed. Because of something that you say or you do, you know, in anger. Valuable items are destroyed. People might break something that is very valuable. You know, they break something or clothes are ripped or what have you because of anger. So this is why the Prophet ﷺ, what did he say to that person? He's asking the person, the Sahabi is asking for advice of all the advice that the Prophet ﷺ could have given him. He said, لا تغضب, do not become angry. Now the third attribute of those who have taqwa, okay, is وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, those who pardon others. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about having the attribute of being forgiving and pardoning others. Pardoning others. This verse is very general. This verse is very general in terms of forgiving. So, do we forgive everybody? Anything that they do, we forgive it? No matter how evil that person is, let's say we forgive them? The answer to this is no. One has to exercise care and be careful. Because although this verse is general, there is another verse which restricts or confines the general nature of this verse. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Elsewhere in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Ash-Shura, verse 40, He says, فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ. The operative word here is أَصْلَحَ. So, he says, but whoever pardons and makes, يعني إصلاح or reconciliation, and there has to be a good outcome out of the pardoning. Let's elaborate on this. Let's say, for example, a person has made a mistake or has wronged you. But it was a very innocent mistake. It wasn't premeditated. Very something, يعني, an oversight, in haste. Okay? Forgive this person. It's not their nature, not in their character. You forgive. But if a person, for example, is a very evil person, corrupt person, and he wrongs you, do you just leave him and without taking him to the authorities or informing those that have an authority over him? Do you inform them? The answer is you do. Otherwise, what's going to happen? He's going to continue with his evil to do. He's going to continue with the evil onto others. If you let him go, and he lets him go, he's going to continue to harm people with his evil. So this is why we have to look at the situation and take it, yani, and deal with it in a unique way. For example, car accidents. Somebody has a car accident with you. And this person, but you know, it was very innocent. They didn't, you know, they weren't doing anything silly or foolish to cause the accident. Then you can forgive this person. Say, you know what, just go. I forgive you. Don't worry about it. You know, may Allah forgive us. But if, you know, for example, you see a person who is a hoon, you know, or a person who is, you know, doing something really foolish on the road, burnouts and skidding and all this, you know, really doing silly things, and he smashes and he hits your car. You know, are you going to forgive in this case, especially if he has a history of this? No, you can report him to the authorities here, because there's a better out there. This person needs to be reprimanded. This person needs to be, you know, admonished regarding this, so it doesn't hurt others. I mean, we're talking about lives of people. We're talking about people risk, you know, lives at risk here. So especially when you know that this person shouldn't be forgiven because it's going to cause more harm and damage to others, then no. But if you know it's innocent, looks like, you know, if a person shows that remorse and regret, and you can see that it's something, you've assessed the situation, it's up to you now. You can forgive them, inshallah. And forgiveness is better. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. And this is the characteristic of al-muttaqun. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concludes this ayah by saying, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He loves the doers of good. He loves those who do goodness. Now who is a muhsin? وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves the muhsins. Al-muhsin is the one who's good to himself, who reforms himself, who betters himself, who is always improving himself. That's a muhsin. Doing the things that Allah Azza wa Jalla has commanded, keeping away from the things that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has prohibited. But then a muhsin is also a person who does good towards others. That is also a muhsin. Doing good towards yourself and doing good towards others. And when in the hadith of Jibreel, when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was asked, you know, what is ihsan? And this is the highest level of ihsan. The highest level of ihsan. The practitioner of ihsan is a muhsin, right? And he said, it is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal as if you can see Him. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَأَنَّكَ تَرَهُ. To worship Allah as if you can see Him. So, when we're talking about here ihsan and the worship of Allah Azza wa Jal, we're talking about loving Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, yearning and having a yearning for what Allah Azza wa Jal has to offer, especially in the hereafter. And part of this worshipping of Allah Azza wa Jal and part of this ihsan is also to fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So you love Allah and you fear Allah. You fear the punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in place for those who transgress His boundaries in this life and in the hereafter. So, al-ihsan can be to oneself, between you and Allah. And al-ihsan is towards other people. And when you're talking about other people, there are again two types of ihsan towards other people. There is doing good, helping, aiding, supporting, okay, with your money, with your, yani, physically, with your words, with your wealth. Or it could be helping them refraining from the haram. So even, for example, with your words, if a person says to you, Assalamu alaikum, then you could say, Wa alaikum assalam. Or you could say, Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِذَا حُيِّيتُم بِتَحِيَّةٍ فَحَيُّ بِأَحْسَنَ مِنْهَا أَوْ رُدُّوهَا. If you are greeted with a greeting, then respond with a better greeting or just return it back. This is part of ihsan. Even the ulama, yani, spoke about, if someone gives you a greeting, a better greeting, okay, let's say someone says to you, Assalamu alaikum. You know, you could just say, Wa alaikum assalam. You haven't really given an extended greeting in terms of Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and gaining the 30 hasanat. But you could, by just having a more positive voice, you have responded in a better way than he has or she has greeted you. By being optimistic, by being positive. Another example, for example, if you see your brother, his or your sister committing a sin, then again, one of the best forms of ihsan is to advise them, either directly or indirectly. In the hadith found in Sahih Bukhari, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, help your brother or unsur akhaka zaliman aw mazluma. Yani support your brother whether he is a zalim, whether he is an oppressor, or whether he is oppressed. Help him, even if it's an oppressor, help him. The Sahaba, one of them, he said, you know, we can understand. He said, we can understand, Ya Rasulullah, it's alright to help him. If he's oppressed, if someone's oppressed, you can help them. But how do, you know, you help him if he's an oppressor? How do you help somebody who is an oppressor? We help them as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, قَالَ تُحْجِزُهُ أو, he said, أَوْ تَمْنَعُهُ مِنَ الظُّلَمِ, that you prevent him from oppressing others. By you preventing him from oppressing others, you are helping him. So again, there are many ways of doing righteous deeds, good actions, whether it be through our saying and through our actions. Now Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned a number of hadith to do with the chapter of hasten to do good. I'll just mention a few of the hadith inshallah ta'ala. We'll conclude inshallah with some of the hadith that have been mentioned. The first hadith he actually mentions is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu wa arda. It's found in Sahih Muslim. He said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, be prompt. بادروا بالأعمال فتنا كقطع الليل المظلم يصبح الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا يبيع دينه بعرض من الدنيا. Listen to this hadith. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, be prompt, be quick in doing good deeds. In other words, before you are overtaken by turbulence, fitna, turbulence, fitna, which would be like a part of the dark night, really harsh and very hard, a real trial. A man would be a believer in the morning and turn to disbelief in the evening. So you wake up as a believer, the trial is so hard that by the end of the day you become a kafir. You become a disbeliever. Or he would be a believer in the evening, and by the morning he will become a disbeliever. And he would sell his faith for worldly goods. So this hadith, it tells us that the day of resurrection, that the day of judgment will be just before it, there will come a long chain of calamities. There will be some hardships, some severe hardships, some trials. And because of the rush of these hardships and these calamities, the deen, the religion and the faith would lose their value in people. And so people will be just racing towards, you know, riches, to wealth. And yani, people will be prepared to compromise their deen. They'll sell off their deen for some worldly gain, some worldly pleasure. They'll just sell off their deen. Nas'alullah as-salama wal-afi. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon us during these trialing times. In another hadith, the hadith of Uqba ibn al-Harith radiallahu anhu, he said, once I performed the Asr prayer in al-Madinah behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he got up quickly after finishing the prayer with taslim. And stepping over the people, he went to one of the rooms of his wives. Quickly went over the people, went to one of the hujurat, one of the rooms. And the people were startled at his haste. And when he came out and he saw their astonishment at his urgency, he said, I recalled that there was left with me some gold which was meant for charity. I had some gold that was for charity. I did not like to keep it any longer. So I gave orders that it should be distributed. Another narration, this is in Bukhari. Another narration, I left some gold for sadaqah in the house and did not wish to keep it overnight. So again, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is showing us the urgency. When there is something that needs to be done, do it quickly. Don't procrastinate. Don't just leave it sitting there. If it needs to be done, let's do it quickly. Especially if you have an amana, if you have a trust, get it off, off your back and quickly discharge your duty with regards to this amana. And usually when it comes to being in the masjid and, stepping over people and, separating between them, this is something that's uncalled for. But if it's something which is an urgent matter, we learn from this hadith that it's something that is allowed. Another hadith that Imam An-Nawawi included in this chapter is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who reported that a man said to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during the battle of Uhud, the second battle of Islam, the great battle, tell me where I shall be if I am killed. He said to him, where will I be? And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied that he would be in Jannah. If you were killed in this battle, you will be in Jannah. فَأَيْنَ أَنَا سَقَالَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ فَأُلْقِيَا فَأَلْقَى تَمَرَاتٍ كُنَّ فِي يَدِهِ ثُمَّ قَاتَلَ حَتَّى قُتِلْ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. This hadith found in Bukhari and Muslim. He fought, after hearing that, he fought until what? Until he was killed. So he, subhanAllah, he had some dates in his hand. He goes, I don't even have time to eat these dates. I mean, how long is it going to take you to eat some dates? You've got some dates in your hand, you'll finish them and, move on with the job. No. If this is too long for me, if these dates are going to occupy me from, getting to Jannah and becoming a martyr, it's too long. He threw the dates, marched forth, and he was martyred. So again, we see the passion of the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, in striving to do righteous deeds, even in jihad, even in striving in the cause of Allah Azza wa Jal. In another hadith, hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, and this hadith is found in Bukhari and Muslim, there came a man to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, said, O Messenger of Allah, which charity is the most rewarding? I want to know which charity is the best. And he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أن تصدق وأنت صحيح شحيح تخشى الفقر وتأمل الغنى. He said that you should give charity in a state when you are healthy. The best time to give sadaqah is when you are healthy, number one. And stingy, you're feeling stingy, you don't want to give. And you're fearing poverty, you fear that I might become poor, fearing poverty, and you're hoping to become rich. That's the best time to give sadaqah. When you have those four attributes about you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he goes on, he says, وَلَا تُمْهِلْ حَتَّى إِذَا بَلَغَتِ الْحُلْقُومِ قُلْتَ لِفُلَانٍ كَذَا وَلِفُلَانٍ كَذَا وَقَدْ كَانَ لِفُلَانٍ كَذَا. He said, and do not defer or delay to give charity that you are until you are about to die, and then you say, this is for such and such, and this is for so and so, okay? Yet it has already come into the possession of so and so. So what happens? Some people, they delay in their sadaqah. They delay until they're on the deathbed and they're actually dying, and they say, look, this person will get this much, and this person will get that much, and this person will get that much. But guess what? That person is already going to get that much because they are entitled to it as a result of inheritance. And as you know, when you are only allowed to put in your will a third of your wealth, okay, with regards to charitable organizations. A third, and if you haven't done so, and you're dying, then you can't, you know, you haven't written up your will, you cannot then start to say who gets what, if you're actually dying. So, this is why we shouldn't procrastinate. If you have something to give, give it now. Give it now. You want to give towards, you have some, alhamdulillah, you have some wealth that's accumulated. And you want to give to a worthy organization, a masjid, a project, give it now. Don't procrastinate. So this is the problem with many of us. Yani we won't give unless we know we're about to die. And there is other hadith that Imam An-Nawawi included here. And one of the hadith here, he mentions hadith Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, again he uses the word badiru, be quick. Badiru bil a'mali sab'an. He said, hasten to do good deeds before you are overtaken. You are overtaken by one of the seven afflictions. Then giving a warning, he said, are you waiting for such poverty, which will make you unmindful of devotion, or prosperity, which will make you corrupt, or disease, as will disable you, or such senility as will make you mentally unstable, or sudden death, or ad-dajjal, who is the worst expected absent, or the hour, and the hour will be most grievous and most bitter. This hadith, which is found in Tirmidhi, Sunan al-Tirmidhi, is basically saying what? Is, yani again, we have to be quick before facing obstructions. You can become poor. You got the money now, but you might not have it tomorrow. Or, as he said, you could become, yani, your prosperity might actually corrupt you. You may become rich. And then your state of being rich makes you unmindful and thinking, you know what, I just want to be, I'm happy with these riches. Might not benefit you. Or it could be that you have a disease that prevents you from doing good. So again, one should do one's best to improve his hereafter by means of good deeds before one is deprived. One shouldn't hesitate before an obstruction comes about. These are the words I leave you with. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, and I ask Allah azza wa jal to make me, to make you from amongst those who are hasty towards doing good deeds, righteous deeds, meritorious deeds that will benefit us in this life and that will benefit us in the hereafter. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.